in the where we are in the church right now, we just finished the first creation story. And tonight, Genesis, we have the second creation story. And you know where this is leading, right? We all know the story, but it really is our story. And we need to always go back and learn more and see it again. Because God creates, and everything's going along swimmingly, right? He creates something, and it's good. He creates something more, and it's good. And he creates something more, and it's good. And all of this is a manifestation of the power of God's creative love. Right, all of creation, St. Thomas Aquinas says, why is creation so varied? Because every bit of creation reflects one tiny aspect of who God is. It can't all be the same, right? Because each one just highlights something about God that is unique and beautiful and good. It's all like a little sign of him, right? And of course, the highlight, the high point of creation is the creation of man. Right, the human person. So Genesis 1:23, you know, let us create man in our image and our likeness, right? And so that's the reality, right? And when God sees that reality, he doesn't just say it's good, he says it's very good, right? So important to remember that, my friends. Like when God sees you, he doesn't just say it's good, he says it's very good. It's very good. That's his first response toward us. We don't always believe that. There's a reason we don't always believe that. And that's where we're headed, not tomorrow, but on Friday. Where we get this reality of original sin. And that has wounded all of us so incredibly deeply that we can't even begin to understand how operative it is. The only way is to think about like a kid who is born with an addiction. It's not the kid's fault. Original sin is not an act any one of us committed. It's a state of being. We're born into it. Right? It's a state of being. So think about the kid who's born with an addiction, right? Fetal alcohol syndrome or a crack baby. Right? They're already addicted. They're already touched and wounded by a reality that they did not choose. But nonetheless, that is the reality of their life. And it has to be addressed if the person is ever to become healthy. Or shift another analogy, and these are not pleasant analogies, right? Think about the kid who grows up in an abusive home. Well, the poor kid, all she thinks is that is normal because that's all she ever knows. But the reality is, this wasn't the way we were created to be, and that's why it's important to pay attention to the first part of the Genesis story. God created things in harmony. The human person is created to be in radical union with God, in friendship. That's how we're created. We're not created to be alienated from God. We're not created to be alienated from others. Friends, we're not created to be alienated from ourselves. And we know all those realities because we are sinners. How did it happen? Well, there's temptation, right? And there's lies. And it's always about believing a lie, especially about God. The truth is, when God creates Adam, he says, you are free to eat from any of the trees in the Garden of Eden, save one. Save one, right? And there could be a whole course on that one tree. But I'll suffice it to say this, God creates us free, but free within limits. And that save one thing is a call to obedience and to say, I am not free to do whatever I want, no matter what. I am free to live in the truth of realities, that I am a creature and God is the creator. And living in that reality is the condition for my freedom. The evil one comes along after Eve is created and tempts her with, listen to this lie. Did God really tell you you're not free to eat from any of the trees in the garden? It's subtle. You can almost hear like the seed of suspicion planted in that. Did God really tell you you're not free to eat from any of the trees in the garden? What's the truth? God said, eat from every tree in the garden, except one. But that suspicion is planted in Eve's heart. And by the way, Adam is right beside her as she's being tempted, and he does nothing, right? Ladies, have you ever seen that? Guys doing nothing, okay? Okay? So it's not Eve's fault. It's both of theirs fault, right? Adam is right there. Okay, all right. Don't go on that rant. Okay. What happens then? The seed is planted. That God is not a giver, but a taker. That God is not the condition of our freedom, but actually a threat to our freedom. That God is a master who seeks to overwhelm us, not a father. And that's really awful. But friends, we all live that, don't we? It's the wound of original sin, that we don't trust God, that we do see him as a threat, that we're afraid to come close to him, we're afraid to give our lives to him, we're afraid to live in the radicality of relationship that we were meant to live in. And it is exactly that that Jesus has to address. And it's in your heart and it's in my heart. And so I want to give you a little quote from Pope Benedict. It was his first homily as Pope. Pope Benedict is my dear friend, okay? I love that man. By the way, you should pray for him. He gave an interview recently to an Italian paper, and he just is very aware that he's about to die. He's like, I'm in my last final chapter, right? I mean, he's frail and old. And I truly want him to go to his eternal reward because he's amazing. Listen to what he said. And I make copies of these at the end of the chapel because I know that some people need to hear this and you need to pray with this, okay? He says, are we not perhaps all afraid in some way? If we let Christ enter fully into our lives, if we open ourselves totally to him, are we not afraid that he might take away something from us? Are we not perhaps afraid to give up something significant, something unique, something that makes life so beautiful? Do we not then risk ending up diminished and deprived of our freedom? You want to see the consequence of original sin? Read that and look at your own life. Because I know it's in your heart and it's in my heart that we're afraid to give everything to God because he's going to take something from us and we'll end up diminished. If I really get serious about following Jesus, if I really give my heart to him, if I really live in the radicality of relationship that God asks me to live in, I'll end up less. But that is a lie. It's as suspicious and as egregious as the lie that the serpent whispered in Eve's ear. Did God really say you couldn't do anything? When the reality is God said, do everything, but do it in right relationship with me. So Pope Benedict goes on. No. If we let Christ into our lives, we lose nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing of what makes life free, beautiful, and great. No. Only in this friendship are the doors of life open wide. Only in this friendship is the great potential of human existence truly revealed. Only in this friendship do we experience beauty and liberation. So today, with great strength and great conviction, on the basis of long personal experience of life, I say to you, dear young people, do not be afraid of Christ. He takes away nothing. He gives you everything. When we give ourselves to him, we receive 100-fold in return. Yes, open wide the doors to Christ, and you will find true life. Amen.